Welcome to the Stats Modeling the World Instructors Podcasts. 10 points in under 10 minutes. We hope you find them helpful.
Hi, Dave Bach here to talk about Chapter 16. Chapter 16 introduces random variables and their probability models. We look at expected values and standard deviations and examine the effects of shifting and scaling on mean and variance. And we introduce the all-important concept that when adding or subtracting independent random variables, we add their variances. Here are 10 important points you'll want to keep in mind. 1. When we dealt with many of these concepts back in Part 1, we were describing data, the distribution center and spread. Now we turn our attention to probability models. The ideas are the same, but rather than actual data, we examine what might happen in theory. Instead of a distribution of observed results, we have the probabilities of the possible outcomes. Instead of the mean of observed values, we have the mean of the probability model, its expected value. The standard deviation of the data measured the spread of the data. Now it measures the spread of the population distribution, and the effects of shifting and scaling are the same. Both affect the center, but only scaling affects the spread. 2. Continue to emphasize the importance of vocabulary and notation. Random variables have a probability model. Actual sample data have a distribution. The model's mean is the expected value of the variable, the long-run average, and can be written as mu, or E of x, but not x bar. The model's variance is var x, or sigma squared, not s squared. 3. Help students understand that the expected value may very well be impossible on any given trial. The chapter's opening example, about death and disability insurance, for instance, results in an expected value of $20. The policy could pay off $10,000 or $5,000 or nothing at all. No individual policy will pay off $20. That's just the expected average payout per policy if there are a very large number of policies. This is a good time to revisit the law of large numbers. 4. The law of large numbers also explains how folks who run gambling games and lotteries can make such juicy profits despite offering a multi-million-dollar prize. They would be foolish to offer such a payoff if there were only a few players. Even though the probability is very low, someone might win, a large downside risk. But the huge prize generates headlines, especially when someone does win, and entices a large number of people to play. Sure, one or two may win megabucks, but the law of large numbers ensures that so many others will lose that running the game will be a very lucrative venture. 5. You can make sense of the formula for the variance by looking at the formula for expected value. To average something in a sample, we add individual values and divide by a count. For random variables, this add and divide routine is simply replaced by multiply by the probabilities and add. We find the mean by multiplying each possible value of the random variable by the corresponding probability and then summing. We do the same to find the variance, this time multiplying squared deviations from the mean by the probabilities and summing. Ultimately, of course, a calculator or a computer will do the heavy lifting. 6. The notion that we add the variances to work with sums or differences of independent random variables may seem complicated and counterintuitive at first, but there's nothing in this chapter that's more important in terms of setting the stage for really understanding other probability models, sampling distribution models, and the otherwise scary-looking formulas for inference that lie ahead. Be sure students leave this chapter with this idea well established. 7. Calling the theorem about adding variances the Pythagorean theorem of statistics will help three ways. 1. It makes it sound important, as it is. 2. It reminds students to use variances by squaring the standard deviations. And 3. It cautions students that, just as the Pythagorean theorem of geometry works only in a right triangle, we can add variances only if the two events are independent. 8. Why must we add variances? Point out that it's the variance that actually deals with deviations from the mean, though they are squared. We can add on the variability from another random variable only at this stage, not after we have taken the square root. Students know from the Pythagorean theorem that a right triangle with legs 3 and 4 does not have a hypotenuse of 7. Just as geometry's Pythagorean theorem is about areas, the Pythagorean theorem of statistics is about variances, squared deviations from the mean. 9. Perhaps most confusing to students is the fact that we still add the variances, even if we're interested in the difference of the random variables. Get them to think of variance as a measure of uncertainty. In any situation, the more variability there is in the possible outcomes, the less certain we can be of the results. Every time another random outcome is introduced, whether we add or subtract it, the more uncertainty is added in the final outcome. 10. Students will also be confused about the difference between multiplying a random outcome by a constant and summing several random outcomes. As we say in the book, x plus x plus x isn't necessarily the same as 3x. Imagine that you are to toss a coin, getting paid if it lands heads. Ask the students if they'd rather toss once for $50 or toss 5 times for $10 each time. Different people will make different choices, but as you explore the reasoning behind those choices, students will become aware that even though the expected amount won is the same either way, the variability in winnings is quite different.
Thank you very much. This concludes our discussion. We hope you find it helpful.